Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Business update with Gule Tufupi on Kaya 959.
She brings you Kaya Biz, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. Hey, we're doing double shifts now, back to back. Hey, Gugu.
The show must go on, no matter the time of the day, clearly.
Indeed. Budget speech postponed. I don't need to tell you how much of a calamity this is in the business world.
Yeah, definitely. And we certainly did unpack this last night with yourself and Pamela Mudene on the Kaya Biz special that we had last night. But I think for many of us as South Africans, whilst we understand the fact that the issue of contention is a 2% increase in VAT, which actually saw the budget speech being postponed yesterday, we really need to go back and ask ourselves, but hold on. SARS has been performing incredibly well over the last few years. They managed to receive at least 17 billion rand, if I'm not mistaken, in terms of revenue last year. But where is the shortfall? Why do we have a shortfall? Well, it seems as though, of course, when it comes to all mathematical calculations and assumptions that are made, there are certain calculations that are drawn in terms of the expectations of what will be received in terms of revenue. And just before the finance minister was meant to mention his budget speech, we actually had a briefing with Edward Kiesvetter, who outlined the fact that there's still a shortfall in terms of revenue. This is largely based on a number of factors. Number one, a heightened assumption that that we would be able to attract and, of course, collect a lot more taxes from places like the fuel levy. Now, you might recall the fuel levy, especially post the pandemic, was actually a great revenue earner for South Africa because big business was actually burning more diesel. But since Eskom has actually ensured that there's efficient power supply over the last year, despite the blunder we saw earlier on in one of the weekends in the month of January, this has also led to a reduction in the amount of diesel that is being burned, and as a result, a reduction in the tax levy, fuel levy collections that are collected by SARS. So that already translated into 15 billion rand less from the fuel levy collection into the fiscal. Coupled with that, there was also an overshoot on the assumptions that two-pot would also be a great way to actually tax more consumers. Many of consumers might have spent some of that funding on consumption, but majority of the money that was used from the two-pot withdrawals was actually meant to settle much of their debt. So overall, if you look at the different pockets within which SARS has actually tried to use to attract and collect more tax efficiently, it does seem as though this highlights the shortfall that we essentially see and takes us back then to the issue of contention, which is then the proposed VAT increases, which would impact a larger base, heighten the level of efficiency in terms of collection and control, and of course, cover the shortfall that we have in revenue. So we'll continue peeling back at the many layers of the story, especially from a tax point of view, implications on the economy, and other vast aspects later on Kaya Biz tonight.
Let's stick with this on a little while longer, right? It also highlights how high our unemployment is, even though unemployment numbers went down slightly early on in the week. You got to look at it and go, the more people that are unemployed, the less people you can tax. But even people that are employed, right, they are below the tax threshold. Something else we need to look at, and I think it's very, very pertinent that we do look at it, is the fact that the commissioner himself said this is not an effective way of collecting more tax. What we should be doing is we need to legislate and give him more tools within which he can use to then collect more tax. Because there's a lot of tax that goes around uncollected, and that is money that we could be using, roughly 18 billion rand that we could be getting if we were more stringent in how we collect our taxes.
100%. And I think that's a very valid point that you raised, because it did come up to show, I guess, the lack of interconnectedness and alignment between the Ministry of Finance together with the SARS Commissioner. And you're quite right on this, Izwe. If we do think about VAT, we've typically heard stories not only from SARS, the Auditor General, but also within the business community overall, where there's been a heightened level of fraudulent activity when it does come to VAT. And if you impose this kind of a challenge again, perhaps there will be some leakages and loopholes in the system that would be found. And coupled with that, if we are able to improve SARS efficiency, which has taken place slowly but surely over the last few years, we have already seen an introduction of a number of taxes. The increase in the customs duty that consumers need to pay on online purchases. Even if you look at the taxes that they now impose on cryptocurrency transactions, all of that does speak to a way within which they've invested in their technology, invested in their staff, and ultimately that, together with additional support to actually improve tax collection, would then drive enhanced efficiencies. So, yeah, it's really leading to some big debates that we do need to see.
When I was younger, Gugu, I used to think the word Kentucky referred to a type of fried chicken. I didn't realize that Kentucky is actually a place in the U.S., right? The city and state of Kentucky. So now they're moving from Kentucky to Texas. Is it going to be called Texas Fried Chicken?
Thankfully not. But this is a very interesting story. And in light of all the heavy news that we've been hearing, I thought this one is really one of intrigue. Because as you mentioned, many of us know KFC as Kentucky Fried Chicken. And that's where the name is essentially founded from because of where it started. 95 years ago, the brand actually started in a small motel in the town of Kentucky in Louisville. But over the years, it's evolved. It's been bought out by Yum Brands, which also owns the likes of Pizza Hut. And Yum Brands, as we know, also has its head offices in Dallas, Texas. Now, they've decided that they're actually going to base their business there and have just one head office, ultimately to make sure that they have a streamline effect in terms of the adequate management of their business. But beyond that, they also know that they're taking full advantage of the what they describe as a business-friendly regulations, as well as tax breaks that are typically included in a state like Texas. So this just shows the level of competitiveness. It's not the only company to make this kind of move. We've seen the likes of Elon Musk's X and SpaceX also move that way. Chevron has also moved to Texas, including the likes of Hewlett-Packard. So I think it's quite telling, not only the move to the particular destination, but thankfully it won't be called Texas Fried Chicken. It's just a change in their head office and where it will be domiciled. But for the rest of us across the world, it will remain as KFC.
Okay. And what are the markets looking like?
The markets, despite all the noise we had in the markets yesterday on the back of the cancellation or postponement of the budget speech, the markets did remain fairly calm. The All Share Index will open up from a weaker position of 88,341 points. And despite the slight dip that we saw in the Rand yesterday, we are trading now at 18.53 to the US dollar, 23.31 to the British pound, and against the euro, we're at 19.31.
Thank you very much. It brings you Kaya Biz, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m.
Business Update with Gunetu Fupi on Kaya 959. If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.